This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Sports news, views and interviews for our community. The Locker Room with Ben and Rolly on Joy 94.9.
It is the Locker Room on Joy, 94.9, 4 minutes past seven on your Wednesday evening. Locker Room, your show for sports news, views and interviews. Thanks to Gary Wilson for the Joy 94.9 news and, of course, to Chris and SJ for Crash driving you home this afternoon. Mark, Rolly, Roland, welcome back.
Thank you, Ben. It's a bit hard to get used to the time zone again, but I was lucky enough to be over in Lisbon for the Dark Horses rugby team over there was holding their annual beach pitch rugby match on the gay beach over there.
Did you have a run?
Yeah, I did. The sand was very hot and it was sort of a bit hard. You know, you kick the ball out into a couple of naked sunbathers and
Definitely a different type of footy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mark, tonight on the show, big show, Antwerp Outgames coming up next month.
Yeah, so we've got Malcolm Campbell from Team Melbourne, Lorraine Little, the Australian ambassador for the upcoming Antwerp Outgames, which is going to be really good to hear about and how the Aussies are going to go over there. We will also be joined in the studio by Tim from Melbourne Argonauts, Melbourne's queer rowing club. Sexism has reared its head in world sport recently, and we will touch on that topic tonight. So it'd be great to get your SMSs. And we will also be talking Tamburelli.
What is this Tamburelli?
Well, it's the World Cup in Germany next week for Tamburelli. It's the sport you play with tambourines.
More on that later. Let's jump straight into it, though, Rolly. About a couple of weeks off, but what have you got this week in Mark Rolly's Roundup?
For those of you who like to play their sports from the couch, Grand Theft Auto players can now take a break from killing innocent bystanders and get involved in a good old game of tennis. The Gameological Society website has reported that fans have been asking for a tennis feature since the rumours of the previous version of Grand Theft Auto was to feature a dream sequence of the main character winning Wimbledon.
Hang on a second. So Grand Theft Auto, which is where you go around shooting people, stealing cars, carrying on.
Tennis.
You can now go and have a hit of tennis down the country club.
Oh, but that's going further.
Right.
Earlier this year, Rockstar, which is the developer of the game, released a teaser for the new Grand Theft Auto version, which included screenshots of the players on a tennis court. However, industry analyst Michael Pachiner said that it'll probably just end up being a mission where you just shoot all the people on the tennis court. A spokesman of Rockstar has disagreed with this and said that the tennis feature is legitimate and said that gamers will be able to play tennis for real. Grand Theft Auto will also feature yoga, surfing and golf.
Something for everyone this year.
Oh, that's fantastic. You wouldn't even have to leave the couch. Kill a person, play golf. fans are getting pretty excited with blogger Grandmaster Smith writing, "It will be cool. Rockstar doesn't half-ass their mini games. You can actually play yoga in this new game. It's so cool."
How exciting.
I know. Obviously written by a homosexual.
Maybe some gaming fans out there. Text us in 0427JOY949. Tell us what you think of the new Grand Theft Auto soon to be released.
NBA staff Baron Davis has claimed he was abducted by aliens during a recent drive in the Californian desert. The New York Knicks player told hip-hop website West Coast Riders, that's with a Y, the encounter happened as he was travelling from Las Vegas to Los Angeles 2 weeks ago. He said, "I see this truck. It's a big ass truck." And I said, "Oh," starts with an F, "this is going to be traffic," he said. Driving, the next thing you know, there's a steel thing and these crazy looking people, half human, half ugly looking mother effers, they were poking me on the nose, looking at my eyes. They had my hands tied and the next thing you know, I was in Montebello, dude, burning rubber on the way back to LA at 4 a.m.
Hang on a second. So, NBA player thinks he's been abducted by aliens.
Yes.
Just driving down the road.
Yes. They were ugly.
Right. Mm. Oh, glad he got made it back home safely.
Well, Divers, who's been sidelined with serious injuries since May 2012, said he was so shaken up by the experience that he had to visit a nearby Burger King to calm down.
Mm. Maybe an overdose on those peptides or anti-obesity drugs or something.
I was about to say, his language given, it sounds like that he's on something. Wow. And it's not the onion rings.
Yeah, it's the peptides. Definitely.
Peptides. Two soccer teams in Nigeria, Plateau United Feeders and the Police Machine, posted very big wins in the final round of an amateur tournament to earn promotion to Nigeria's professional football leagues. Their wins were certainly big, being 79-0 and 67-0.
This is soccer.
Yes.
79-0.
Yes.
Wow. That's almost a goal a minute, isn't it?
Were they playing the Xbox version where the Player 2 controller was doing nothing?
A goal every 80 seconds, if my maths is correct.
Well, yeah, you'll find that the Nigerian Football Federation has called the results in the northeastern city of Bachi a mind-boggling show of shame. Chasing a place in the nationwide league division, Nigeria's lowest professional league, Plateau United Feeders reported their 72 of their goals against their opposition in the second half, a rate of more than a goal a minute. In fact, a goal every 40 seconds, non-stop for 45 minutes.
Every 40 seconds. That's got to hurt.
Yes, that's exactly right. And, they were actually at one point sprinting back with the ball. They were hiffing it. One of the opposition goalie was getting the ball back to the halfway so they could get going again. At the same time, the other team, Police Machine, which was playing on the opposite field, reportedly swept 61 goals past Babiuaro FC in the second half after leading by a relatively modest 6-0 at half time. I suggest you don't play your final soccer games next to each other. So I think there was something going on there. They're trying to outdo each other. The interesting thing is Plateau and Police won their opening games at the start of the season 2-0 and drew 0-0. So huge improvement for Plateau and the Police Machine. So good on them. So cutting over to the Tour de France, English rider Mark Cavendish has had a liquid thrown at him, which he initially thought was water before realising what was the taste. It was urine. It does not know whether Cavendish...
Hang on. He's riding down the road, yes. Tour de France. Someone throws urine at him.
Yes.
What, in a bottle or something? Or just sprayed it? Or
I think it was the old cup and throw, I think. it was not known whether Cavendish, who faced boos and jeers during his ride, was targeted deliberately. The incident came just after a day after he was caught up in a controversial moment towards the end of Stage 10 as he tried to contest the sprint finish. He collided with Dutch Min Tom Velers, who was sent crashing to the ground by the impact. Cavendish has been cleared by any blame by the race organisers and called Velers to say he never knocked him off on purpose, but Velers is understood to have rebuffed the approach. Teammate Jerome Pinot said Cavendish was whistled by spectators on the morning. Yesterday I was so proud about the support, but today I am ashamed.
Wow.
Ashamed when my friend Mark Cavendish tells me he's been whistled and even sprayed with urine on the course. It's scandalous. Britain's Chris Froome added, it ruins the whole atmosphere for the spectators coming to the sport.
Well,
that's exactly what I mean. I mean, one individual doing that just leaves a bad taste in your mouth, he said.
Oh.
And went on to say, and a bad taste in Mark's mouth as well.
I reckon that's two urine stories you've presented in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I don't know, something about urine.
Everyone loves throwing urine, it seems.
Sex sells, urine sort of sells. He may have slipped the noose with the Wilford damages charges against him, discharged by Ken's magistrate yesterday, but no sooner had gorgeous George Burgess breathed a sigh of relief than a new problem reared its head. Nude pictures of what appears to be 21-year-old Rugby League South pinup have surfaced online, finding their way to a men's gay porn site. Ben, do we know what...
So he snapped a few selfies of himself in the bathroom, the old mirror shot that you see around, and it's made its way onto a gay porn site.
Well, I suppose that's what happens when you put them on Twitter.
Yeah.
How exotic.
Really anyone can take it.
Should I say how erotic.
I'm not sure what the Wilford damages charges are. Do we know at all? He seems to have gone to court for something and then gone back home and taken selfies of himself naked.
Feeling good about his win and, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't you normally
celebrating.
Do that
with, South League Club with the Rabbitohs has decided they're not going to take any calls. They've just gone blank and they're not going to worry about it. So that's interesting. What have we got tonight? The Origin. With Queensland vying for an unprecedented 8 straight series victories, pressure on New South Wales to end the streak has never been higher. According to Maroons legend Petro Sivia Siva, engaging in the biff will come at a cost, saying the first team that loses its cool will end up losing the match. As we know, there...
It's been a bit of biff this year.
Yeah, which has been getting a bit bloody ridiculous. So hopefully they can keep it out, play some good rugby league tonight.
It will be a big match, and it will kick off just as we come off air this evening.
Well, that's certainly right. I hope you're all up to date with world news and sports. You're on The Locker Room with Ben and Rolly on 94.9.
You're on Joy.
You're inside The Locker Room with Ben and Rolly on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
We have gay sport royalty in the studio, Mark Rowland. Joining us in the studio now is Malcolm Campbell, president of Team Melbourne and the Australian ambassador for the Antwerp Out Games next month. Lorraine Little, welcome.
Welcome, Ben.
Hello.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks so much for joining us. Lorraine, let's start with you. The Out Games in Antwerp next month. Mm-hmm. Let's just clarify something, because I always get confused. There's an Out Games and there's a Gay Games. What's the difference? Why do we have two?
Well, why we have two is a really long story, and the solution to that, I think, is just to get a few people's heads and bash them together and solve it.
Nothing you can't solve over a pot of beer and a Parmesan,
right.
Surely.
It goes way back to a split that's just too complicated to deal with,
right,
in the space of time we have, and it... certainly the desire on the ground from all the participants, all the different teams, Sydney's, Team Melbourne's, is that we dearly wish that there would be a unified one world mm-hmm. event.
Yeah, because we don't want to go away every year to a Games.
Well, my bank
we
have balance to, can't afford
it. Yeah, so
well, that's going to be my next question. So do athletes go to both at the moment, or do they choose one or the other?
Well, Melbourne doesn't favour either. We encourage people to go to whichever. Some cities around the world are affiliated only with the Federation of Gay Games or the Gay and Lesbian International Sports Association,
right,
which promotes the Out Games, and the Federation of Gay Games promotes the Gay Games. Whereas here in Melbourne, we just say, go to whichever ones you like. Mm. And so this year is the Out Games in Antwerp, and then next year is the Gay Games in Cleveland in the US. So we're talking about Antwerp today, but in the future we'll be talking about Cleveland and also a regional Out Games next May.
In Darwin.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, really exciting. Yeah. We spoke to the guys over there a little while ago, and they're very excited to have
the
gays
ascend
them.
I think Darwin is just going to be an extraordinary location for the regional event. Malcolm and I were both involved pretty heavily with bringing the first Asia-Pacific Out Games to Melbourne, and then the next ones were in Wellington, and thus the next ones ahead in May are in Darwin. Very thrilled about that location. But let's talk about Antwerp.
Let's do that.
That's what we're here for.
I like that from the ambassador. That's great. So,
yeah, it's part of my job.
Oh, no, how is the role going? Is it quite time-consuming? What are the events
well,
you've
got I'm still
on?
Waiting for my limousine to rock up to take me around. At the moment, I'm still jetting about, which actually probably is very appropriate for Antwerp. I'm still getting about on my bike.
Yes.
Oh, fantastic.
That's good.
I'm in training for Antwerp in that sense.
And Lorraine, what sports are you competing in?
I'm a volleyballer.
Okay, fantastic.
Yeah.
So the Spikers?
Yes, Melbourne Spikers, a founding member of that club. So it's really thrilling to have a few teams going from there. And I know I've said it before, I'll probably say it again after Antwerp, but I think this might be my last event.
How many for you so far?
Oh, God. Most of them and a few medals.
She's very young, so she started very young.
Thank you, Malcolm. But look,
the body's breaking down, though.
It is, the back. But look, my main role in taking, supporting and encouraging people to go to Antwerp all along was just knowing, a bit like with Darwin, I just thought Antwerp is the perfect city for this kind of an event. It's a small, beautiful European city, great transport, architecture, contemporary design. So anyone, any interest, whether it be really kind of classical art history stuff or really contemporary modern design and clothing and so forth, can be covered off.
And the good thing about it is it's a compact size city. A lot of the European cities are like that. And so it's easy to hold an event because it doesn't take you long to get to each of your sport venues.
Absolutely. And a bit like Amsterdam games way back, it'll be so lovely to be there because you'll see everyone because of the size and scale of the place. At this point in time, there's about 6,000 plus registered athletes.
From about 80 plus countries.
Yep. 32 sports. But I thought this is an important thing to note on Joy is that it involves something like 1,500, that's 1,500 volunteers.
Yeah, it's an incredible
extraordinary
event to put on.
The event wouldn't happen without the volunteers.
Yeah.
And that's supported mostly by, I imagine, local volunteers from Antwerp.
Yeah, and they're not necessarily gay or lesbian. They're just part of the general populace who want to make these events successful. The very interesting thing to point out is that the Prime Minister of Belgium is actually opening the Games, and he is an out gay man.
There you go. Oh.
Yes.
There you go.
So
that would have been a big part of their bid, no doubt.
Yeah, yeah, like imagine Kevin opening our games.
Yeah. Well, interestingly, Julia Gillard came out in support of the Sydney's bid to host the Bingham Cup, the Gay Rugby World Cup.
That's right.
And went on a video in support, which was great. Mm. She's no longer in office, though, so it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Maybe Kevin will, if he's still the Prime Minister, that is. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. So let's talk about the Australian contingent going over to Antwerp. So how many different sports are we going to be represented in?
Oh, about 15 sports, mm-hmm. And we've got about 100 going from Melbourne.
Wow.
And from Australia, about 300 all up. So another 100 or so from Sydney and about 100 from the rest of the country.
Great. And do you all sort of travel over together and stay together and sort of, you know, operate as a team in that sense? Or?
Yes, we've tried to do that with Melbourne. We have a general team hotel, mm-hmm. which is actually the official Outgames hotel. Mm-hmm. We had a partnership with a travel company and they organised that hotel, and most of the Melbourne athletes are staying in the one hotel, so it's mm-hmm. fantastic. We've got a really good rate too, so
be a great atmosphere, no doubt.
Oh, it will.
So there's other stuff that happens outside of the sport as well. It's not just about the sport, obviously. That's why you go that far, but there's so much else, so many other reasons why people travel to events like this.
Yes.
Well, going back to your original question, in fact, what differentiates the Out Games from the Gay Games is that the absolute structure of Out Games is that there is sport, and that's the major component, but there's also a major international human rights conference. Mm. That's got to be part of an Out Games. It's 3 days, international speakers, and incredible. I know in Wellington, the sessions I attended at that event remain some of the most powerful memories I have of that whole event.
Wow.
Mm. Even though I won a bronze in B grade men's volleyball. Go Ooh. Figure.
Yeah. Rolly, we spoke to Ollie from Darwin, who's the chairperson of the Darwin Out Games, and she said that one of the things they remember about Wellington was that the games was a big part of the gay marriage movement in New Zealand, and it was a really big driver. So it'll be interesting to see in Darwin next year whether we see that sort of snowballing effect as well, and you know, translating into potentially some more widespread support, or if nothing else, a bit more of profile for the issue.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Well, going back to the Belgian Prime Minister, he addressed the 67th Assembly of the United Nations recently, and included reference to Belgium hosting, or Antwerp hosting, the Out Games.
Lorraine.
And I think that's extraordinary to have that kind of acknowledgement. And at the opening, it'll be fantastic. But yeah, there's a lot of parties, of course. That's part of it.
There's a women's party too, Lorraine.
There's a women's party, great. The DNA swim party.
That's a good question. You just raised, Malcolm, a lot of press this week about sexism in sport. Mm. How is the women's representation in an event like this as compared to the men? Is it?
Look, it's less, to be honest, because generally the people that go are the people who can afford to go, and more boys can afford to go. I'm not being sexist there, but we all know that the pay gap between men
and
women.
It's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But we're encouraging women to go, and here in Melbourne we encourage women through Team Melbourne.
Mm,
we're constantly trying to encourage women's involvement and young people as well, young people's involvement. But also at the games there, apart from parties, there's also a bit of culture that we all should be involved in, because they're offering tours and concerts and things like that. And one final thing, Lorraine's favourite, the Mr Gay World is happening.
Oh, conveniently at the same time.
Yes, they arrange that. Of course, it's like the Miss Universe thing, so it's like a beauty
pageant.
I thought
it was all muscle.
Yeah. Will you be entering, Malcolm?
No, you have to be 6 foot and look
right.
like a model.
Okay.
And I'm only 5'6".
5 year plan, yeah. So how can people sort of follow your progress when you're heading over there? Is there going to be a way that, that news from the Melbourne team will be getting back to us here in terms of how you're
We're trying to do that, actually, Ben, through some other people here with Joy. There should be a live cross during your drive shows.
Fantastic.
In the afternoon. We're trying to organise that. And also we've got the Team Melbourne Facebook group, so which I think you're a member of.
Yes.
Yeah, so we're trying to put results on that. So,
great.
You know, Facebook is the way I see these days. It won't be email postings or telegrams. It'll be Facebook mainly to get the results.
And just to clarify about the Out Games and the Gay Games, we're not talking about professional athletes. We're talking about anybody who wants to come and participate can come and have a go. And I think that's a great thing about an event like this.
Yes.
It doesn't matter whether you're an incredible athlete, or you're someone that's just starting out in a sport, or you're someone that just wants to go along with your mates and have a go for the first time. Mm. Everyone can participate.
That's right. It's all about participation and being involved.
Yeah, and that's absolutely true of all the clubs that exist in Melbourne, all the queer sports clubs. That's absolutely one of their driving goals is to just encourage participation. But equally so, there are some participants who do operate at a very high level, Malcolm included.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
And certainly I know in Wellington there were Masters swimming records broken and so forth. Mm-hmm. But it, by and large, and it always should be and will be, that the vast majority are people who are participating because of the sheer, the joy of it, the connection, the socialising.
Well, that's right. I know that I have met people at the games and you see them every 4 years or so. And it's like seeing a long-lost friend. And as I said with the Facebook thing, I joined Facebook just before the last games, about 2010. And now I have these Facebook friends from overseas who you catch up with and then you see them in person. Mm. And it's great. The running community is really good, especially.
But I wanted to, if we have time, I wanted to go back to your question about the rates of male and female participation. It's an ongoing frustration or challenge, I should say, for all of our clubs, one that we continue to try and find solutions to. Mm. But certainly, again, in the out games in Wellington, they probably were the most successful. In general, you'd have about a third female and two-thirds male participation. Yep. Mm. In Wellington, it was up to about nearly under 50%, but, you know, it was a great outcome.
That's great.
So we hope to be able to build on those strategies,
and we know that
for Darwin.
Yeah, moving towards Darwin, Darwin being in May next year, the fact that it's in Australia, in the Asian region, it might be a lot more people from Melbourne and Sydney will go because they could afford to go.
Of course.
And we should hopefully get more women's participation there.
Mm. And once they get a taste of it, that'll be it. Then
You're addicted. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Like both of us.
But that's exactly why the regional events are so important, to make it more accessible for more people.
Lorraine, Malcolm, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate your time. Good luck over there. I look forward to chatting with you when you're back with your bounty of medals that no doubt you'll bring in to show off. Congratulations to all the participants who are heading over there, and we wish them all the best of luck. You're inside the locker room on Joy 94.9.
Do you want to hold your own in a sports conversation, get a better pub quiz score, or just like the sound of two boys talking about ball sports? Then join Ben and Rolly in the locker room on Joy 94.9.
Ben, while I was over in England and swanning around, it was a bit of a sports holiday, so I went to Wimbledon and, of course, catching up on the cricket.
Yeah.
While I was over there, I come across a sport called Tamburelli, and actually it's their World Cup in Germany next year. It's a game you play with tambourines, and it's got a giant big badminton net and a hard ball. So
this is a big thing?
Yes. The Scottish seem to play it. The Devonshire. I don't even know if I pronounced that right. It's like Worcestershire. So, look, they're going over to Germany to take on the Germans with their tambourines. And there's a report that's been done by the BBC. So I thought we might have a take a bit of a listen to it now and see what you think.
Tamburelli.
Yeah, here we go.
Yes. There it is. Can you hear it? The unmistakable sound of one of the rarest sports in Great Britain. Come with me into the world of Tamburelli.
It's the sport played with a tambourine. And you need to get into the rhythm and jump to the beat, whether inside or out.
I would say that Tamburelli is a cross between music and sport. Something that comes between, that incorporates both.
There's lots of myth and legend surrounding the origins of this sport.
I've always loved more acrobatic sports compared to badminton and other racket sports. It's a bit more fast-paced, acrobatic. There's a lot of jumping. A higher net, which allows you to jump more.
Which is why it's seen as a great way to get fit and increase your agility, especially on the grass, and it prides itself on suiting all levels.
It's a really energetic sport and everything, and I've been playing it for quite a while now, and I really like it.
It's quite fun.
You, like, move a lot more around, I think, than tennis, and you have to, like, dive to get shots and stuff. I just like it better than tennis.
When you start, it's very easy to pick up, mainly the fact that the bat is so close to your hand, so unlike badminton, you haven't got the distance to. So it's very easy to hit the shuttlecock. But then when you find a player that's an equal to you, it can get very intense. It can be really kind of physically demanding.
It could be a world champion at anything. It's pretty incredible. It's a game that when you start playing it, it's like deep in your heart, you know? It's kind of like a soulful game.
So, Ben, I don't
physically
know...
Physically demanding sport, Tamborelli.
Yeah. Look, I don't know. So, what do you think? I hope you didn't really... So, you're not hiffing the tambourines at each other.
No, no, I understand.
You're using them as bats to hit the shuttlecock across the net.
Well, I'll tell you, when you and I went and played badminton, I was bloody awful. And I think the reason was there was such a distance between the handle and the racket, right? So, I'm thinking that with the tambourine being much closer, it might be a little bit easier to get the shuttlecock over the net.
Well, yeah. Well, and the thing is, they've actually taken the bells off the side of the tambourine for that game.
Oh, there's no bells.
Well, it started off with the bells, but they said for the World Championships it was causing such a racket.
I thought that would be part of the sport.
Did you get that? Oh, he didn't even get that joke. That they had to take the bells off. But, look, it may be a sport we should be asking them to have at Darwin. You know, maybe... bring a few
bit of international flavour. You're inside the locker room. Coming up next, we're going to be talking to Tim from Melbourne Argonauts. That's Melbourne's queer rowing club. You're on Joy 94.9.
Sports news, views and interviews for our community. The Locker Room with Ben and Rolly on Joy 94.9.
The Melbourne Argonauts are Australia's first gay and lesbian rowing club and one of only three independent gay and lesbian rowing clubs in the world. They aim to create a friendly, inclusive environment for those who want to row socially or competitively. We are joined tonight by the club's president, Tim Hewitson. So, Tim, how is the year going so far for the club?
It's going really, really well. We've had new members and we've been having some great success with some of our regattas this year. Lots of gold medals, some silver and bronze as well in the various regattas we've been competing at, and we're off to Belgium very soon.
So how do you guys think you'll go in Belgium?
Oh, I'm sure we'll come back with a swag of medals. That's the plan.
Fantastic. How long has the club been going for now?
This is now our 13th year of operation.
Wow.
Yeah, it was founded back in 2001 by some very forward-thinking rowers back then, and it's just gone on from strength to strength since then.
So you're just down there in Albert Park?
Albert Park Lake is where we row, and our club rooms are there too.
And in terms of the rowing, I imagine you've got sort of quads and eights, and you've got some individual events as well, so there's all different types of rowing that people can get involved in.
Absolutely. We have singles, doubles, the fours, the eights, and we have both sculling and sweep rowing, so sculling with two hands and sweep rowing with one oar.
Okay, so how many people are involved in the club altogether? How many would you have rowing regularly at the moment?
We've got about 60 competitive rowers and also about another 30 or so members of the club who row from time to time or take part in various club activities.
One of the things we were just talking about in the previous interview with Team Melbourne was the participation by women. I mean, what is the ratio at your club?
We have about 12 active female rowers at the moment, as well as additional members who are not rowing regularly. And of those women rowers, we've got about 10 who are coming to Antwerp with us.
Yeah.
And we've been making an extra effort this year to welcome as many women rowers as possible to the club and so we can have a balance.
Oh, that's fantastic. So, so you've got something called, is it Learn to Row?
If not only,
you don't have to be female, male or female, if they're thinking about possibly coming down, what's the story there? When is it and what's it about?
Right. We actually have four Learn to Row courses every year and we've got one coming up in August and another in September. And basically for everyone who wants to join the Argonauts, they must take part in the Learn to Row program, which is a weekend of events and training so that people become familiar with the basic procedures behind rowing and the basic movements. Then we take them out on the water. But that's after they've had a session in what we call the rowing tank, which is a simulated rowing experience in a tank. A simulator. It's, you know, if you think flight simulator.
Like a computer.
No, you're actually in a tank.
Right.
You're in a tank.
I'll put you in a tank with a computer.
Don't know if that'd work. No, you're in a tank with a makeup boat and then you're actually rowing and the water is directed around and back in a circular motion so you don't actually move anywhere.
Okay.
But you can practice the...
So you've got to do that first before you promote to a real boat on the real water.
Yeah, that's only a day though.
Now, Tim, this might come to a surprise to you, but when I was in high school, I was a coxswain.
Really?
Yes, I was. And
I meant that in a very nice way.
The boat was dipping in the water.
I was on the plane.
I was thinking more his height than anything else. It was your height. I'm far too polite.
One thing that I remember is the god-awful morning starts and we had to be up at 4 o'clock in the morning and on the water by 5. It was awful. Yes, it was awful for my parents who had to drive me there. I remember that.
Yeah.
How does it work in terms of rowing here in Melbourne? You said after work, before work, weekends?
It's all of the above.
Right.
We have morning rowing at 6 a.m. and we also have a lot of evening rowing at 6 p.m. And on the weekend we have social rowing and also some crews go out for a row as well, and on Sunday we have a sculling session for those who'd like to go out and do single sculling or double sculling as well. So if you're rowing competitively, you would probably find you've got one or two mornings, but you really get used to them, and you come to love seeing your fellow rowers at 6 a.m. before you've had a coffee. It's a beautiful experience, I can assure you.
The zoot suits.
In the summer, it's good.
Yeah.
So your competitions are called regattas, is that right?
That's right.
So what's the story there? You just heats and trials.
Yeah.
And,
well,
I'm sorry, I'm quite naive.
That's
about,
fine.
So if I'm wondering what a skull is, or I'm thinking beer, but I mean, I don't think.
No. A skull is when you're actually using two hands and you've got lighter weight oars in both hands, and so you're rowing with both hands down the course with two oars, or one out to each side.
Okay.
And a sweep boat is when you've only got one oar and you're actually rowing with the two hands still, but there's only one oar going out to one side, so it's balanced up with other rowers as well.
Ah, so sweep and scull.
That's
right.
There you
go. So and, next time I watch the Olympics, I'll know what's going
exactly.
on.
Exactly. And the regattas, well, there's an umbrella organisation called Rowing Victoria, and through them the various clubs hold regattas, and we compete against the other clubs all around Victoria on a regular basis through the summer.
Tell us, what's it like to turn up to one of these regattas as the queer rowing club? How is that received by the rowing community here in Victoria, and what's the interaction like between the other clubs and the people you compete against?
It's, these days, it's fine. Mm-hmm. It was probably a little bit, not tricky, but it was a bit of a novelty, I think, or a bit strange, I suppose, back 10 years ago. I joined 9 years ago, and I think that the feeling has changed very, very much along the last 9 or 10 years, and people are very welcoming. Mm-hmm. We don't feel any concern in that regard. In fact, one of my favourite moments was at Dimboola, which is a country town near Horsham, and we had a regatta up there, and our men's eight won.
Oh, wow.
And at the medal ceremony, of course, we were, you know, very excited for them, and we cheered the loudest. And one of the members of another club turned to me and said, "I bet you guys have really good parties."
Oh, I didn't actually think that's where you were going with that for a second. I'm sorry.
It's all right. I know it's a family show, isn't it?
Yeah, so. Yeah, that's what I mean. 7 o'clock. I was freaking out. I had Adam, our producer, in
ready
to put the mute on.
No, but it was a very great moment. So it's and they did such a good race that day. They really rode hard, and we did have a really good party after that. To be fair,
I can imagine.
Horsham's a bit of a party town. I don't know if you knew that, Ben.
I didn't.
Oh,
I have been once before, but it wasn't.
Is it like Sitges? It's on the map with that.
Oh,
is it?
Yeah, I'll definitely. Yeah.
It's on the circuit.
Yeah.
Tim, the rowing's not a cheap sport. You've got to have the boats and all the equipment, and you've got to have, obviously, access to the water, and you've got to be able to transport these boats around.
Yep.
So you guys need support to make that happening, and you have some really cool events. And, in fact, your trivia night is one of the, from my experience, one of the best events on the queer calendar here in Melbourne. It's always a lot of fun. You've got one coming up soon.
We have on Saturday night, the 7th of September. In fact, prior to this interview, I was just at the organising meeting for our trivia night, and that's very much underway. So, and bookings open on Friday. And you can find out more information at our website, melbournearchonauts.com.au/trivia.
Is it going to be in St Kilda again this year?
Yep.
I like that because you could sort of just stumble across to the Greyhound. It was
very convenient.
It was a brilliant location last year. Camp.
Does that I knew you'd ask about that.
I thought that was a typo on my notes.
No, camp.
No, camp. That's really what it's called. Once a year, we have a social rowing camp where we take the whole club up to Nagambie, and we rent out rooms at the beautiful Nagambie Holiday and Caravan Park.
Oh,
it's very special.
Sounds luxurious.
It's luxurious. But right near it, there is the National Rowing Course, and also it's just off the Goulburn River. So we have a great time up there and celebrate our Argonautness on the river and have a practice and have a lot of fun.
That's sort of like an end of season trip.
This year it's kind of like before the season starts because it's happening in August, and some of us will be away, of course, in Antwerp, but it'll still be happening this year with those who are staying behind.
Thanks so much, Tim, for coming into the studio and having a talk to us about the Argonauts and what's going on. I always love the trivia night, so we'll be making sure we get out to get the tickets.
Good luck in Antwerp.
Thank you very much.
We're looking forward to Melbourne representing and bringing back some booty.
Well, we've got 28 rowers going, so we're hoping
you're
for
with a chance.
A great result.
We'll have to get in touch with you guys again. You're on The Locker Room with Ben and Rowley on Joy 94.9.
The Locker Room with Ben and Rowley on Joy 94.9.
sexism in sport. We've just heard from two queer sport, well, three different members of the queer sporting community who all acknowledge that women aren't fairly represented in sport, and that's reflected in some stories out of the media this week.
Yeah, it was interesting. So Marion Barr Towley, the women's Wimbledon victory. So it was a bit of a surprise, but it was sort of made worse by a lot of the sexism and the comments that were made after that. BBC commentator John Evandale casually told listeners live on radio during the game, "Do you think Bartoli's dad told her when she was little, you're never going to be a looker, you're never going to be a Sharapova, so you have to be scrappy and fight?" I mean, would you ever talk about a male
player
like that? I mean, Bartoli then came out and said, "Look, I am not blonde. Yes, that is a fact. Have I dreamt about having a model contract? No, I'm sorry."
Why did she even bother responding to a comment like that?
Well, and the other thing is, because that comment was made, that a lot of people then have jumped on Twitter and they've, you know,
it's said, a social media uproar.
Yeah, well, no, actually, a lot of it was quite negative, that, you know, she didn't deserve to win because she was ugly, you know, and it just sort of goes back and forth. And, like, one of the things that I found really interesting by the media while I was over there was all this talk about the first Briton, you know, the Briton.
Hasn't
won Wimbledon 77 years. And it's like, well, no, hang on. Wimbledon was won by Briton in 1977 by Virginia Wade. But, of course, she was a woman. So, technically, that doesn't count for some reason. So, and we all remember the crap that went on last year with Liesel Jones, you know, and they're talking about
the poor girl.
I don't know.
She went on to win a medal, though, after that.
But it was just ridiculous. Like, when was the last time? I remember they used to talk about Shane Warne's weight, you know, pies and chips and cigarettes. Yeah. But it was always very sort of jokingly, wasn't it? You know.
Yeah, it was. It was never criticising.
No.
Interestingly, tennis star Agnieszka Radwańska. Now, have I said that right? Normally, Rolly, is that correct, Adam?
That is correct. Well, very good Polish translation.
Now, on the flip side of this whole argument around sexism in sport, she has been dumped by the Polish Catholic youth movement that she was involved in, because she has posed on the front of a magazine naked, Mark Rowland.
Oh, wow.
So on one side, you've got women who are competing at the top of their game and are getting criticised for being ugly and therefore not entitled to win. And then on the flip side, you've got those who do have the assets flaunting it for no doubt big money.
Well, if you can't see the photo, she's on a plastic deck chair overlooking a pool full of balls.
Not very Catholic.
Don't really quite get it, though. Like, I don't know who does these photo shoots. You know, let's chuck 50 balls in the pool and just have her sitting there naked. I don't get the connection.
What was the magazine? Was it H&M?
It was, I don't know.
T and something?
ESPN magazine.
Oh, ESPN. Oh,
ESPN
boy.
Magazine. So not even a sort of, you know,
if it's anyone
raunchy,
that knows sport, it's
magazine.
ESPN.
But anyway, obviously targeted at a male audience. And
so what's going on? I hear that Australians in general are racist, according to the old cricket coach.
Yeah,
I mean,
Mickey Arthur is
South African,
seeking compensation from Cricket Australia, saying that he was discriminated against because of his South African origin. Interesting this is happening. You know, we just had Robbie Deans sacked from the Wallabies as well because he was from New Zealand. Well, not because he was from New Zealand, but a lot of the talk from the rugby community was that we needed an Australian heading up the national team. And some would argue that rugby union and cricket are the two national sports of this country. And for both of them to be, I guess, coached and led by foreigners caused a bit of a stir in the public. Whether that was reflected by the policy or what was being said by Cricket Australia or the Australian Rugby Union, I don't know, but interesting claims.
Yeah, look, he just never stood up to the mark. And that, look, even though I'm a Kiwi and it was quite a sort of, it was quite good actually watching the Lions and the Wallabies because I was able to just be neutral and watch Gatlin versus Dean. Yeah. You know, it was just like the whole thing was run by the Kiwis. So, look, at the end of the day, he was terrible. You know, and now that we've got...
Now he's coming out saying, of course, it wasn't me. It wasn't because of my poor coaching that the Aussies have had such a bad run at it. It's because there was a rift between captain, of course, Michael Clarke and Shane Watson. Apparently they had their own factions within the team and it was a toxic environment, which meant that the performance of the team was impacted by this
feud. Sorry, I just blanked out for a minute. I thought you were just talking about the Labor Party.
I was going to say, I think that's similar along the lines of the Melbourne Demons as well.
Yeah,
the
factions or something. Well, look, I mean,
and don't forget Homework Gate, of course.
Homework Gate.
The scandal where Mickey Arthur, you know, sacked one of his players for not submitting their homework on time.
Yeah. Well, at the end of the day, he is a coach. So, look, if there is a faction, you just don't select the faction. You know, look, at the end of the day, you can't do that, of course, in politics because they're all voted in. But, you know, get rid of them otherwise.
Drugs in sport. We talk about it every
I'm
week.
I'm so bored of
it's happened again. Now, we've got a Jamaican and an American sprinter who have tested positive to substances. And again, they're here saying that, I didn't know I was putting it in my mouth. Someone told me it was okay. What is it with athletes not taking responsibility for what they put in their mouth?
Can I just ask, can you repeat that in a Jamaican accent, please, for the Jamaican listeners?
No,
I'm not even going to try. But what is it? Why is it that athletes just can't say, I'm responsible for my body and what I put in my mouth, I'm going to take responsibility for?
Look, sometimes you put things in your mouth that you don't mean to put in your mouth. And, you know, like,
I mean, keep telling yourself
it's
that,
Mark. It's a few occasions that's occurred. So, look, I mean, I suppose it's hard. You know, it's like that one thing that happened with the Tour de France. Everybody was taking drugs. And I suppose, you know, if you look around, everyone's taking drugs, you think, well,
got to keep up with the Joneses, I guess, to remain competitive. Mm. One last thing I wanted to mention. Now, the Melbourne Rebels, Melbourne's struggling rugby union franchise here, haven't had a great year. And one of their star players, Luke Jones, he's decided that he's going to have a bit of a dabble in modelling just in case the whole rugby thing doesn't work out. In the Herald Sun today, there's a great shot of him in his first modelling shoot. So something definitely to have a look out for if you're a Luke Jones fan or a Melbourne Rebels fan?
The only thing is quite risky being a rugby player and model. You know, you only need to take one boot to the face and your nose is disjointed.
And
so
it does put a target on your back, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
For the pretty boys.
Got to go for the pretty boys.
One more rugby union news snippet I'll just work in. Waratahs looking, sizing up Benji Marshall, NRL convert. We could see Benji Marshall playing rugby union in Australia very soon. So that's some exciting news and we'll watch that as it develops. Of course, there's lots of whispers around, but nothing confirmed from either camp at this stage.
Knowing Benji, he'll want to do a Sonny Bill and want to play for the All Blacks, so it probably makes sense.
Yeah, so I'm interested to see what happens. And look, you're on Joy at 94.9. You're inside the locker room. It's 8:04. A couple of messages will come right back after this.
The Locker Room. Come in and get changed. Sports news, views and interviews for our community. Joy 94.9.
8:03 on Joy 94.9. That's it for another week, Mark. Time for us to hit the showers once again and time for me to hang up the boots for a little while.
Yeah, I don't know how I'm going to hold down the fort by myself, so I'm going to have to get a lot of guests in, I think, to fill the slots. A few more songs,
you'll be right.
Maybe.
As long as you get the Joy in the 94.9 in the right order, I'm sure you'll be fine.
Yeah, Joy 94.9. Yeah, anyway.
Thank you to all our guests who've joined us on the show tonight. Malcolm Campbell, president of Team Melbourne. Out Games Ambassador Lorraine Little. Tim from the Melbourne Argonauts, of course. Adam for pushing our buttons, as always. And for our podcast, they'll be up very soon on the Joy website, joy.org.au. Of course, Simon, our producer, who puts all the content together for us. Until next week, Mark, it's been a pleasure.
Yes, it's been a very good show, and we will see you I won't see you next week, but I'll be here, and Adam will be here, and Smithy will be back with the AFL, so it'll be brilliant.
He will be. You're on Joy 94.9. Good night.
Do you want to hold your own in a sports conversation? Get a better pub quiz score, or just like the sound of two boys talking about ball sports? Then join Ben and Rolly in the locker room on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.